let's go ahead and read the passage. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 7 and going all the way to the end, finishing up Colossians this morning. And a neat thing about this passage is that it's very personal. Paul here names a number of his close friends in person, and he's sending this as a personal letter to people that he loves in the church in Colossae, and thought it was very fitting for us this morning. So let's go ahead and read this. Tychicus will give you a full report about how I'm getting along. He's a beloved brother and a faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I've sent him to you for this purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. I'm also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that's happening here. Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. And you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. There are only Jewish believers among my co-workers. They are working with me here for the kingdom of God, and what a comfort they have been. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. He also prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church that meets in her house. After you've read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so they can read it, too. And you should read the letter I wrote to them. And say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Here is my greetings in my own handwriting. Paul, remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. So we can just pray and be done now. I didn't want to work this week, and I figured, what are you going to do about it? So, no, just kidding. But I do think it'd be good under the circumstances for this to be very short, so I will attempt to keep it very short. A couple things I noticed from this passage. Just going to blast through them really quick. There's a list of forgotten people here. A couple of them are known. You got Luke. People know about Luke. Onesimus is a little bit more well-known, but there's a list of forgotten people here. But these forgotten people gave their life to make it that Jesus would not be forgotten. And that reminds me of Cornerstone. Whether you like to believe it or not, we're all going to be a group of forgotten people. But I hope, I believe, that we're all a people that have given our life to make Jesus be not forgotten on into the next century and millennia. It's a list of changed lives here. Jews and Gentiles, people who, because of Jesus, their lives were completely changed. And I look out here and I see a bunch of people whose lives have been completely changed. And it's been a joy and an honor for me to be a part of that with some of you. Some of you have contributed to my life being changed, and I'm grateful. You see here a team, a group of people that Paul here lists as people that are dear to him, dear to the people at the church in Colossae. They're a team. They're a family. And you've been a team and a family, and I'm grateful. Another interesting thing about this team is that they're all spread out geographically. How fitting is that? The body of Christ is all over the world, and God moves us and sends us to different places. And most of us here will end up in a different place at some point or another. Another really neat little thing that you see here is that in the body of Christ, conflict is a reality. You see Paul here mention Mark. Mark abandoned Paul. Paul got really ticked and didn't want to have anything to do with him. So Barnabas, who was nicer than Paul, took Mark under his wing, and then Paul got ticked at Barnabas. But then what does Paul say here? Years later, he says, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Reconciliation is essential in the body of Christ. Talks about Epaphras' prayer. I love Epaphras' prayer. He says he agonizes in prayer for them. Epaphras came from the church in Colossae and now is with Paul, and he's praying for them constantly, asking that God would strengthen them and perfect them, and saying that he trusts that they will follow the whole will of God. And I'm excited to say that I can trust that Cornerstone is following the whole will of God, that when I come back and visit, that won't change. And then there's this interesting little exhortation. Paul says, say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. We don't know much about Archippus. We know that he, I think that's verse 17, we know that he was probably the son of Philemon. Philemon and his wife had the church meeting in their home. I can't remember if that's Laodicea or if that was in Colossae, but the Archippus was probably their son, so he's probably a younger guy. And there's some debate. Was Paul saying, get off your lazy rear and do the ministry that God has called you to? And the scholars that I read about this, there was a little bit of a basically of a consensus that no, Archippus probably was young and a little uncertain, a little bit unsure of himself and not really confident that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, that maybe he wasn't quite up for the task. And Paul is saying, you are up for the task, Archippus. And he's saying to the church with Archippus, make sure that you guys support him in the task that God has given him. Make sure that you tell him that he can do it. Make sure that you treat him like he's capable. Encourage him. And I know that here are plenty of people that know what God has called you to. But maybe out here there's a few that are a little uncertain that you're really up for it. Maybe you feel ill-equipped or inadequate to that task. And I want to tell you that you are. Make sure that you carry out the ministry that God has given you. I've quoted many times Ephesians 2:10, you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that he created in advance for you to do. Know that and believe that. Embrace that. Find that and continue the ministry that God has created you for. And the last thing I wanted to mention is in this little letter to the Christians in Colossae 2,000 years ago, Paul says, make sure that the church in Laodicea reads this letter too, and you read the letter that I wrote to them. Because even though this was a personal letter to specific people, it has timeless truths. That's why we spent the last 16 weeks studying it, because not only was it as applicable to a group of Christians in a different city at the same time, it's as applicable to us today. This little book says profound things about who Jesus is and what God has done for us through Jesus, who we are in him and what he has called us to. And so we continue studying all of God's word. I wanted to share a few things with you as I close here. Pastors say that and it makes you feel like there's only 2 minutes left. There's probably maybe like 5 or 8 minutes left just to kind of set your expectations since I know you're all baking, okay? Today has been referred to as a party for Mary and I am super uncomfortable with that characterization of today. Not only do I not like that kind of attention, but I think it should be a party for Cornerstone Church. Cornerstone Church, and not in the way that you're finally getting rid of me, although. But, you know, but Cornerstone Church is a fantastic church. This is such a wonderful, wonderful group of believers that have been worshiping together longer than most of us have been alive. Cornerstone Church started in 1954. How many of you were not alive when Cornerstone Church started? I won't ask how many of you were alive when Cornerstone Church started. God has been faithfully using this church for longer than most of us have been alive and will continue to faithfully use this church for many more years. I was the 13th pastor of Cornerstone Church. That's ironic, right? 13. Unlucky number. So anyways, and I went back and Tom has written a history of Cornerstone Church and I browsed it. It's not the most gripping reading, but you know, it's good information. And most of the pastors that have been at this church have been very much appreciated and dearly loved. And I trust that God will continue that pattern here at Cornerstone Church on into the future. I wanted to thank you all for many things, for your patience with me as I learned what it was to be a senior pastor and am still learning and learning that I have always been inadequate to that task, but you've been gracious and patient. And thank you for your kindness. And for your generosity, there's many of you that have given a tremendous amount to my family and myself. I was prepared for this, but I'm gonna do it. I got this. And I wish I could name each of you. And if I tried, I would end up leaving people out. But if I don't, then you might feel like I don't remember or acknowledge. But I do, and I'm really grateful. I'm grateful for the teamwork. So many of you have poured your lives into the kingdom of God here at Cornerstone with me, been in the trenches together, and I appreciate it. All right. I think that was the emotional part. Some of you have asked about our immediate future, so I just wanted to kind of let you know instead of saying this 100 times today, we'll say it once, and then maybe I'll only have to say it 20 more times. we may or may not be here next Sunday, then we leave on the Albania trip, and then I'll be here August 6th. For the last Sunday, the Albania team will do a report. I'll do the report. I won't be preaching. I think it'll take most of the sermon time. I don't think anybody will preach that Sunday. We'll just do an Albania report, tell you about Andrew and Rebecca and what's going on and how, what we learned and what we saw God doing. And then we'll be gone. And I have one church I'm talking to about being a youth pastor at their church. It's been an interesting process as I've looked over the last few months and had about four or five churches pursue me and for various reasons decided that that wasn't a good fit for us, and then had a few churches that I pursued and they decided I wasn't a good fit for them. And so we're looking at the very real possibility that I'll be selling commercial vehicles for a time. See if I can channel my inner Joe LaBar, right? Yeah. He doesn't sell commercial vehicles, but he sells things. And while I pursue my doctorate of ministry at Multnomah over the next few years. So we have a rental house up there that we've already moved some of our stuff to. And my ultimate goal, I believe that what God has called me to, is to work with youth in a full-time capacity, that I just have this burden on my heart. I have this vision of a torrent that is sweeping away our children and our youth, and our culture is just sweeping them to a lifestyle of terrible decisions and values that they make thousands of them over the course of their teenage years and early adult years, and it's so hard for them to recover from. And I'm so desperate to go out waist deep into that torrent and continue plucking kids out of that torrent, setting their feet on firm ground and turning their attention to Jesus. So there's a lot of uncertainty, but that's the hope. My hope for Cornerstone is that you'll continue to be faithful to the Bible and to Jesus and to loving each other like you always have been. Apologize for my emotions. I know some of you really dig this and some of you get really awkward and you're like, what is wrong with him? So I apologize. Yeah. Next guy's lucky. This is an awesome church. Hopefully he makes you forget me fast. That'll be easy for some of you, hard for others. Yeah, I got a lot more to say, but I can't. So I'm eager to maintain friendship with as many of you as want to. So call, text, Facebook. If you're up in Vancouver, Portland area, get a hold of me. I'd love to go out for lunch or dinner. Probably won't invite you to stay in our home because there's a lot of us there already. That's all. Thank you, and I love you guys. Let me pray.
We'll have Tony up soon. Well, before Michael is heading off, we wanted to take a couple minutes to just send him. And it's always bittersweet, isn't it? Brian already used that word. Seeing friends and family pursue callings often does take them away. I mean, it's interesting as I look back at the number of people that I've known here, you know, like whether it's Losabios, Rebecca Reed that grew up here and now they're so far away. It's jealous that Michael gets to go, excited he gets to go soon. But what I really wanted to do this morning was highlight things that individuals that my wife and I have talked to over the last few weeks have said they were going to miss. That we wanted to make an effort to make sure that, we could do open mic, but I thought, that could be either long or, who knows how that would go. But we wanted people to hear the things that they missed or going to miss or that appreciated about Michael recognized. So the first thing that, and they're in no particular order. I think sometimes it's just, who we talk to first and second. But there were people that really appreciated him opening up the family's life, and in particular the experiences they've had as they've worked towards fostering and now adopting. And I'm going to go to the first person just because it reads better. It's told, I appreciate his humility, authenticity, and his ability to be real. That one was said about five times, so I combine those. I most appreciated the way he treated the whole Bible with truthfulness. Even when he got to the hard sections, he wouldn't gloss them over. more than once we were told that that I appreciated this humor and that they would miss that and that he made the mundane fun. I will miss talking to him after the service, even though he's already given 3 sermons. And that is difficult. I will attest to that. It's draining. I will appreciate his example of reflecting God, his example in his marriage and his family. This is a good one. I will miss our conversations, especially about the Portland Jailblazers. I think Michael knows who that one was. I will miss my Sunday greetings with Michael. He's the first one I greet in the morning. He always takes the time to talk to me. I loved his careful handling of scripture. I also loved that he was willing to use the NLT version so that he was easier to understand. I put that one in there, made sure that one got attention. My favorite study Michael did was his study of Matthew. He really made it come alive for me. Again, this is a quote. I will miss his cute sense of humor, even at his own expense. What I really appreciate about Michael was his openness and support. Okay, I'm going to start over on this one. What I really appreciate about Michael was his openness and the support he provided when our family was new to the church and we were still trying to find our footing. We hadn't fully come to know Jesus, and I had a lot of questions, which Michael patiently answered. This was so helpful as we were finding our faith, and I will be exceptionally thankful for those moments. I appreciate that Michael baptized me and helped me feel closer to God. I could understand scripture when Michael preaches, and I'm grateful for that. And there have been a lot of people out here as I thought through the years that have been baptized, and that came up more than a few times. So I think that's probably one of the most impacting things, you know, other than all the little projects and things that we've seen around the church. I think those baptisms are that visible sign of conversions. I think that's probably, you know, as I reflected on those, that's the one that I most could, you know, point out. But if I knew everybody wanted to be put on the spot, I'd say raise your hands. But, you know, Michael knows who they are and they know who he is. So why don't we have Tony, Don, and Brian come up and pray for Michael.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, for the way in which you have led in Michael and Mary's life for years now, in unique ways, different than anything that we had ever planned, and yet we can see your hand in all of it. And we can see your hand in what's ahead as well. We know that you're leading. We know that you are going before. And we commit them into your hands and ask your blessing on them, your care, your protection, your provision, and that you would make your will and your direction clear for them. We thank you for everything, every way in which they've given themselves to us, to this church, in order that we might become more like Jesus. Thank you for this day. We ask your blessing on the rest of the day as well. And right now we're going to pray for the food, so that's not so awkward. We thank you for your provision for our physical needs as well, and for the physical needs for Michael and Mary that they have had and seen your hand in. We ask your blessing on our fellowship time, and for your blessings on the days ahead, in your hand in Cornerstone Church in the days ahead. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, guys. All right, let's do this. Go ahead and stand up. And since God has chosen you to be a holy people whom he dearly loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy and kindness, gentleness, patience, humility, making allowances for one another's faults and forgiving each other just as God has forgiven you. And above all else, we must clothe ourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Amen.